morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And on the internet.
Wow.
I beat you to it.
I believe you.
Yeah. So, yeah, we are Megan.
And Alice.
And we like video games, and we talk about video games.
Yes. What?
We play a lot of video games. We play a moderate amount of video games.
Well, yeah. There are times where I'll play nothing but video games. And I'm, like, trying to chill out a little bit because I want to do other stuff. And I will get sucked into video games. So I gotta make, like, some kind of schedule. It's, you know, life,
so,
I guess.
So game at your own risk is kind of what boils down
just, like,
to. Game responsibly.
Well, do everything in moderation. That's just how, you know, things should be. But, you know.
So, what video game have you been playing over the last week?
None.
No, you beat Monkey Island.
Oh, right.
I forgot. Video game.
I think I beat it, like, almost after we recorded last time. So I probably was, like, you know, didn't remember. It was, anyway, yeah, I beat Monkey Island, which I love. It's great. Monkey Island's great.
And you got me to start Monkey Island 2.
Yeah, they're both, once again, they're the remasters, and we're playing them on PlayStation Now. I think they're available for PlayStation 3. I know they're available for Steam.
They're good. Really fun.
They're really funny. They're quirky. Yeah, they're very funny. And it's nice because the humor, like, and this is humor from the 90s. Like, and it's aged very well. Like, it's still very funny. Like, it's cute. Generally gets laughs out of me. I've always been a fan of the series. Like, this is one of the first video games that I got to play as a kid. So, I have fond memories and I, you know, enjoy it still.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to keep playing that. I'm still chipping away at my my project.
Persona.
I'm getting further, guys. I'm almost all the way two-thirds through.
Well, you're on like, a couple, or you're close to the end.
Well, we're close to the end if I were playing the original. And I'm playing my cards so that I will have a whole other third of the game to... chip away.
Well, that's okay. So, but you're trucking along. Like, you'll get through it. Like,
you got to witness me go against the hardest.
Oh, wow. Like,
boss.
I was impressed that you actually finished it. Like, to be honest, for something like that with me, I would lower the difficulty, or I would do something to make sure that I wouldn't have to do it more than twice, because it would just, stuff like that frustrates me in video games, and that's why I love to grind in those games, and that's why I don't like to play them, because I'll put extra millions of hours in them, because I'm like, I want to get through this so easy, so I'm going to be the highest level possible. That is how I play RPGs. It's a little lengthy.
This one's not a hard RPG to level through, and I'm talking of one of the later dungeons. I don't want to spoil anything, but you have to go through a gauntlet of a certain amount of weaker enemies that have one elemental weakness that switch up to another elemental weakness with another gauntlet, and one, like, they get progressively stronger.
And if you don't kill them all, then they will respawn.
And you have to do it within half an hour.
Of real time. Which is a good amount of time, but at the same time, have you ever run out the time?
No, because
you've always died.
I don't want to face that shame.
You're like, I'm just going to end it here.
3 minutes is not long enough for me to do couple steps.
Yeah, well, that's fine. It is interesting, like, obviously, Persona, like, with the dungeon specifically, they want to keep on changing up the gameplay. Once again, it's a game that I do not know if I'm going to play. Maybe when I feel like it. Anyway.
That's a winter project.
Sure. Yeah. There'll be some extra DLC.
I think they already brought out all the possible DLC, which...
There could be more.
So we actually did come up with a theme for today, because one of the things that we enjoy watching, because it's something that I don't think we have...
talked a lot about, anyways. We talked a little bit, or mentioned it.
Speedrunning is something.
Yeah, well, speedrunning, it sure is something.
Sorry,
yeah,
I meant to be more eloquent than that.
Speedrunning, and then also we want to touch a little bit on, like, very specifically game modifications, because I sort of feel they're interesting subsects of gaming. I think speedrunning is super interesting. It's maybe one of the more interesting parts of, like, game playing, like, people playing video games, because it's, like, people actively try to find ways to break the game, and it's sort of really beautiful, because they will spend hours to find, like, the one little part in the video game where you can, like, clip through or do something that will let you, you know, cut off, like, maybe a second or two off your game, and it's really, really cool that they're dedicated to this, and it's, like, very impressive to watch. Like, I love watching speedruns.
So, what do you think was the first game to be speedrun?
I don't know. Mario.
No.
Donkey Kong.
No.
Joust.
No.
I don't know.
Okay, so the answer is Doom.
Oh, okay. So, I actually did know this.
Yeah, so in 1993, id Software came out with Doom, and it was a PC game. The first, one of the first that they could actually capture footage from and post online.
That makes sense.
This is how this whole video sharing thing began. It was also one of the first games that people began to modify and make their own Doom levels.
Yeah, Doom was really cool. Yeah, speaking of mods, but so, yeah, Doom was, it was very modded. And I think almost like there was another game that was basically Doom, but it was just modded to not look like Doom. I feel that there's a lot of Doom clones that were just Doom.
So the first posting of gameplay on record were by a Christina Strunoff Normans. She created the LMP Hall of Fame website in 1994.
Ah.
So from there, people were able to submit demos, as they called them back then, okay, of their different things that they could do in Doom and their customization.
I love that it's and Doom.
It's Doom. The creators of Quake actually saw the lengths people were going to in Doom, which was not an open game. You couldn't easily get into the code to do all this,
yeah,
but people were passionate enough to do it,
yeah,
so they actually opened up Quake so people could do, yeah, a bit, I remember, more of this stuff.
The Quake did really open up sort of the modding and modding for stuff like that. Quake was a neat game.
It was very cool, and it's one of the top speedrun games as well.
Yeah, it's cool.
After they did the LMP Hall of Fame, it was followed by the DHT, the Doom Honorific Titles.
Imagine.
Which is, they had different criteria or exams, mm-hmm, different challenges that people could do and display to get rankings in this Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So, that's how that did.
That's interesting.
As far as tool-assisted video game runs.
Yeah, tool-assisted are neat. Because they're, somebody has made basically a mod to play the game the fastest way you can. It is a computer. Like, it is a computer program playing the game, but it opens up a lot of things. Like, it lets people be able to see, like, oh, there is a weakness here in the game that I can maybe exploit. Like, of course, sometimes it's, like, impossible to do just because you have the pinpoint accuracy of a computer program, right? But
so one of the first tool-assisted that were posted was by a user by the name of Morimoto, and he did a run of Super Mario Bros. 3. And in this, he actually, no one knew that this was tool-assisted at first. Mm. He was doing all sorts of impossible maneuvers that Mario should not be able to do.
Yeah.
Ended the game with 99 lives.
Oh, wow.
And when he posted it and people were like, this can't be possible, it raised a lot of controversy against speedrunning and the tool-assisted runs.
That's interesting, because once again, it is, like, people do acknowledge, I think there are separate run categories for it, but it's sort of like, you can also tweak the tool-assisted runs to make the thing go a certain way. So there is some, like, modification to it that people, like, actively, you know, do stuff to it to make it work. But at the same time, it still is a computer program and not a real person speedrunning the game.
Right. So one of the first ever competitive speedrunning tourneys was organized by Global Speedrunning Association called PACE. And they had Super Mario 64, Super Mario Odyssey, and they did Celeste. So this was a few years ago, but this is one of the first official sanctioned ones. Unofficial.
Oh, okay. I guess I see what you mean. Because there's a lot, like, there's Awesome Games done quick, and then AGDQ, and then another GDQ. Like, it's usually something games done quick. And I think they're fantastic because they do have, it's primarily, like, donation-based, and then they also, like, give away the money to charity. And it's just so people can watch, you know, people do really cool things with video games. Like, they can just break the video game ad infinitum, and it's really cool to see. Like, once again, I think it's one of the cooler things in video games.
I think it was close to $5 million they'd raised for Doctors Beyond Borders.
It is very impressive what they do. And even so far, like, video game developers who make the games will watch these and will, like, you know, either pledge or they will, like, watch people. And it's always fun to, I would think it's probably fun for them to watch people break the game. And I would assume there is some part of them that they, you know, wait for the speedrunners to find a spot where they break, you know, they're like, oh, I was waiting for you to, you know, figure it out that this was a weakness in the game sort of thing. So I think that's, it's cool.
And it's neat that the Games Done Quick, I think, was based, the name was based off Quake Done Quick, which was one of the first speed runs.
Makes sense. Yeah. Especially with Quake, yeah.
Which was one of the first to have a leaderboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that was, that was a bunch of cool things that I found out about.
Video games.
Metroid Prime, the record, it was made in 2018 at 51 minutes.
Oh.
Which we have Metroid Prime, and I'm not beating that in 51 minutes.
There's, like, it is pretty impressive. Like, I think there is something to be said for breaking a game within, like, you know, you don't really want to watch a game speedrun that's, like, you know, a minute or less, right? Or 30 seconds. Like, there are some of those games that you can break. I think, very specifically, Spyro 3? I feel it's either Spyro 3 or Spyro 2, but you can break it so that you can beat it within, like, 2 minutes or something, like, speedrun-wise. So, in some ways, I feel that takes a little bit of the fun out of, you know, the speedrunning, but at the same time, you have to give people credit for being able to figure out these things, because it's so very specific of what you have to do. And it's really cool.
And this is why I'd never be able to want to take up speedrunning, is because I love the fun and adventure of going through a game, even as long as, oh, my many months now of playing Persona.
There's some games that I think I could be pretty fast at, because I just have played them so many times. And I could see the enjoyment in playing it really fast. Like, at this point in time, like, there are even some achievements in video games that you get for playing games at a certain, you know, fastness. Like, for example, Monkey Island, if you beat that game in 3 hours, you get an achievement for it. I did not beat it in 3 hours, because I often left the, I would leave it for a bit, and because I get distracted very easily, and I would just be like, I'm gonna stop playing the game for a bit, I'm just gonna leave it. But to my detriment, because PlayStation Now is a streaming thing, and it's like, we noticed that you haven't done stuff for a while, we're gonna stop the program. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll turn it on again later.
I guess arguably the original Metroid or Super Metroid could be...
That's a fantastic run. Like, I love watching that, especially because I find Super Metroid very difficult for me, and it was very frustrating, and it was beautiful. Like, I think, what, it's in maybe 30... I want to say it's 20 to 40 minutes speed run for Super Metroid, which is the second one, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
But
it's like, so it's amazing. Like, one of those are really, really cool runs to watch. Mario is also really fantastic to watch. Like, people have to be pinpoint accurate with, like, their button presses, where they jump, like, even the frame or even items that you have to get. And the other thing is, I guess, there are different categories of speedrun, right?
There is one.
Like a million.
Yeah, there's so many that you can look into, and you can be the best in that particular category.
It is really cool. I like that, you would be like, you could go for a specific, very specific, like, I want to be the best at this specific thing, which you can be. Like, you can be like, I can be the very best at doing this one thing in the video game fastest.
One of the most interesting ones with Super Mario 64 is the no jumping, or like the half jumping. So it's like you hold the A button halfway down and then you go.
I think they're fantastic. Like, they're really very interesting people doing this. Like, and it's sort of, in some ways, like, it's like, why do you want to do this? But at the same time, it's just like, you can do this because they can, right? And it's then it's, like, it's brilliant to watch. Like, another thing that I used to love to watch was Dark Souls runs where they would mod it where it's either you don't get, you can never get hit, like, or you can only use certain things. Or another one that was really great was you couldn't attack anybody. And you would have to use, or maybe you couldn't use melee weapon, I forget, but you could only use other people. In Dark Souls, you can summon friends or NPCs to play with you. So it sort of adds to that category of, you know, you can literally make the game, sort of categorize it any way and customize it and then play it the fastest or play it the way you want to. And I like that because it does give a lot of games replayability, right?
And the one that we've been watching a lot of lately, which I find hilarious and really, really cool, is the randomizer.
Oh, yeah.
So,
like, this is sort of, we're getting, I guess, into more mods speaking. Like, well, maybe we'll go back to speedruns. Yeah. But, yeah, the randomizer for mods. A randomizer is basically, they do try to do it so you can beat the game. Because sometimes there are things where it will, like, soft lock you, which is basically you cannot go further in the game because you don't have an item or you don't have a weapon. Like, we were watching someone play a Resident Evil 2 one, which was hilarious, because she would only pick up, she didn't have the grenade launcher, because it just didn't show up in the game, or the shotgun, but would consistently get grenades and shotgun shells, which she couldn't use at all. And so it's sort of like, it's interesting to play these games, because it does give you sort of a extra challenge, right? Because you have to work out extra things. Also, you can mod the things so they look hilarious. Like, you can make Carlos in Resident Evil. Oh, I guess it was actually, no, it was Resident Evil 3. And it was modded so it was Claire, which that's why I'm confused. So it was Claire from Resident Evil 2 was modded into Resident Evil 3. And it's the mod is, like, really well done, because her face matches up with everything. Like, the voice, like, they did a really good job. I would say it's probably also partially because they're in the same engine, the Resident Evil engine, the RE engine. But, yeah, brilliant. I love mods because they can be very, very interesting. They can also, like, make the game easier for people like me who, like, I was thinking of a story of how I went out into the snow one time because I needed to beat a Dragon Age thing, but the place I was at did not have Wi-Fi, so I went out to find Wi-Fi so I could download a mod to beat a game. Which I did, and I was very proud of myself.
But on that particular computer, downloading was also overheating?
Oh my gosh, like, this is my, I played Dragon Age on my Mac laptop, which now is, like, 11 years old, at least, maybe? And I would used to play to, like, 2 in the morning, and it would over, and it's, like, one of those aluminum, like, metal laptops, so it wasn't great, but, you know, I got to play Dragon Age on it for, like, 80 hours, so that's all. But
Dragon Age, now you can get your Dragon Age fixed through other means that won't overheat and threaten burn scars on your legs.
Well, I was like, Dragon Age was the one that I modded very heavily just because you could, and just because it was available. Like, people were able to do things like even modding characters, extra dialogue, extra missions. I had a mod where I could have the dog on my team as well as everybody else on my team. I had a mod where I could give extra presents to people so they would like me easier. It was just like, I had my Dragon Age mod figured out, and it was beautiful, and I loved it. Like, I love the mod. And mod is great because it's like, it is kind of like DLC, but it's free, right?
It's like, usually community made.
Yeah, and I was even going to say, and sometimes I would say, people who make the games or game developers try to crack down on the modders too, which is like, and I would say in some cases is fine because sometimes there is monetary gain or sometimes there's like things that just don't need to be modded into video games.
But or things that will actually legitimately wreck the game.
True. Like spyware or whatever. Like that's 100% a thing. Like obviously when you download something like a mod, there is a chance of that. I had a Mac, so there was a little less worry.
And it's often easier to get mods when you use the PC version of many of today's
games. I think there are ways to mod on PlayStation 4, like, to an extent, but yeah, I love mods. I think they're great. Like, if I had a computer and could play video games on said computer, I would do it. Because I would beat Sekiro. So, yeah, that'd be the best. And I would be like, I played the game. I I won. I'm proud of myself.
It's actually how I made Fallout 4 that much easier for myself, is because I do have community mods that they allow.
I refused to do that because it took away my achievements. That's the only reason I didn't do it. Because you can't do that to me. Like, you can't take that away.
I understand why they would have done that, too. It's like, is it really an achievement if you're using the crutch?
I feel that's silly. It doesn't matter. Video games are meant to be played, like, any way you want to make it easier or better for you. Because not everybody is a elite gamer. And, like, I've, once again, played video games for, like, literally, I don't know, 25 years now, probably.
Something like that.
Right? So, you know, played them for a while, and I'm pretty okay at video games, but, like, I'm not an elite gamer. I don't even call myself a gamer. I don't believe in that. I believe in video games. No. That sounds... Anyway, back to speedrunning, because I think it's... Well, I think modding's cool, but I think speedrunning is also cool.
The tool-assisted is neat with the speedrunning, because a lot of people use it to find where all these little hidden spots and hidden glitches are in the game.
Yes.
And hidden ledges, invisible walls, and how to get through the invisible walls. This helps them figure out the best paths to get through their games.
Oh, yeah.
This was especially easier in when they started making games 3D.
Oh, yeah.
So, Super Mario 64, Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
Spyro.
Yeah.
So, if you had the tool
assisted, Jack and Daxter.
You can use the tool assisted to help you figure out how this is going to work.
Another cool thing is we were sort of talking about categories before, and just how there is, like, there is a million categories, and just sort of I want to touch on just some of, like, what I mean by this. So there's, like, any percent, which means you beat any percentage of the game, right, the fastest. There's 100%, which is where you beat 100% of the game the fastest. And then, you know, there's varying percentages. Like, sometimes video games go up to, like, 120 or 100 and something random number, you know.
So if you find, like, the actual other programmed in secrets that you're supposed to find anyways.
Like Donkey Kong, but that's, like, that's a torture session if you want to, like, 120.
Which one are you talking?
64. That one. The torture one.
It's a good game until it isn't. Because there's a lot of very challenging things about it. Especially when it comes to the bug races. Nobody likes the bug races or swimming.
Or Beaver Bother. Or how do you beat Beaver Bother, Megan? But yeah. I also, one that I think is excellent and sort of is almost like, it was almost made for speedrunners. Or it's just like, it had speedrunners in mind, which was Mirror's Edge. Because it's a game about running and, like, going fast. Like, it's a game about, like, going fast the most stylish way possible. And people have managed, and Mirror's Edge is a game, like, I have played it, but I played it on my Mac, and it wasn't very good because I had a touchpad and keyboard. So it's a little bit difficult. I think we actually own it now.
Yeah, we can play it on PlayStation now.
But it is a really cool game. It's very stylish. It's like you're a character named Faith, and you sort of parkour run through sort of, I think it's sort of like a fascist dystopian world. I don't really know what it's about, but people have managed, it does have a lot of mechanics in where you can sort of jump or you can jump off of things because she sort of parkours everywhere.
I remember it being a really revolutionary game when it initially came out because it was kind of the first game of its type.
Yeah, well, I still think there aren't a lot of games that are like it, and I know they have a sequel. One thing I read a really long time a while back, I think the sequel that they had planned out was actually going to be really similar to Portal 2. And so they had to rewrite it or something. I remember hearing that, and I'm not 100%, but I don't really know how it would be like Portal 2. But once again, I haven't played the whole game. But the way this game works is that you are managing to, like, jump off of stuff, and people are managing to, like, do things in this game that are just sort of like, you would have never thought this was possible. Like, you would never thought you would be able to go so fast in a video game. Like, I would assume there's some cool Sonic ones, but Sonic is already a game about going fast.
I can't even go fast in today's Sonic games.
You can only go so fast.
Because there's always, like, things that they don't control well. Sonic has made me upset in the last couple weeks, so.
That's okay. The other one I was thinking of is Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time has a really cool sort of almost a game, like a speedrun history, because it's like, you know, there are always sort of people in who play these games. There are like a couple of people who just, they're the ones that continually sort of bring down the time. And once again, it's like seconds, and it's still in these seconds and milliseconds. It's like, it's very impressive, like regardless, like. If you think about it, like, you're like, oh, it's just seconds. But if you think about it in the long run, like, this is, like, 1 second away from world record, right? That's sort of what they're dealing with at every moment.
They're, like, runners, and they're they're breaking these amazing records.
Yeah.
I think it's like, down to, like, 11 minutes for Ocarina. It might be better than that now.
I don't remember, like, the last time I checked into it, it was around maybe 20 minutes. But I believe, like, I don't doubt that people have brought it down. Like, it is one, and it's a really cool one to watch because you literally, in that one, it is, you are Kid Link through the entire thing. And if you played Ocarina of Time, obviously, at some point, you turn into Adult Link to beat the game. In this game, you don't have, the way they do it, you don't have to. And it's just a matter of, like, doing some very specific things. Like, the one thing that I remember in the Legend of Zelda ones is that, like, walking backwards and backflipping is, like, faster than walking forwards. And, like, the jump slash. And it's just very interesting to watch. Even, like, at the beginning, you know, what's his name? Mido?
Yeah.
At the beginning, you can bypass him. And it's just, it's very interesting that people have figured out how to do this, like, how to break this game. And it's, once again, really cool.
And I guess it's almost like a speed run that you can do in Breath of the Wild, where you can just pretty much right out the gate, go and fight Ganon.
Yes. Well, it is cool to see. Like, I don't know how far, like, they've broken it, because there is the thing that you do have to get the four things before you can jump off the part in Breath of the Wild. But they have got it down to, like, you know, like, I think around 40 minutes, probably less at this point in time. It's very cool.
Yeah, because you can head to the castle almost immediately, and I think
No, you have to do the, or, okay.
You need the parasol thing, yes. But you can still go without getting the four beasts.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about the four beasts. I'm talking about you have to get your four powers, or the four powers at the beginning. And the thing.
And it was something about the German version being much faster than both the Japanese and the English.
I was just going to talk about how, like, this is how dedicated speedrunners are, like, to finding the fastest route, that they will change the language of whatever, because certain languages just, they will scroll by faster, and, or they will just, like, it's mostly, like, it's the scroll time. And how much, you know, time it takes up, obviously. And I think one thing that I noticed was, like, in Hollow Knight, I think it's specifically the Chinese.
Chinese simplified.
Yeah, and it's just very interesting that, you know, they've figured this out, so even to the fact that they can modify it that way, right? Like, they're taking it down every little second and every little millisecond. It's cool.
So if this is something you want to check out, because it's very, very cool, and
it's in, once again, like, every game you've ever loved has been speed run some way. Like,
you can check it out. And even some of the games you hate.
Oh, yeah, and they're just fun. Once again, they're fun to watch people, like, break the game, and people have, like, genuine knowledge of how these games work, and it's really cool.
So you can check out Games Done Quick. Oftentimes they have spring, summer and winter. So mm-hmm. Awesome Games Done Quick and Summer Games Done Quick.
Yeah.
You can check those out. They usually support charities.
Yeah. And I would just, once again, check out your favorite games, because there will be somebody who has run your favorite game. And it's going to be pretty cool to watch, I bet.
And one of the primary leaderboards, if you want to check out some of the times on some of your favorite games, is speedrun.com.
Yeah. Like, it's huge. Yeah, that's a huge website. It's really, it's a lot of information. It's quite neat.
Maybe I should try and speedrun Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah, you could see, once again, I'm sure people have, once again, figured out ways to break it. People play the best version, but yeah. I don't know. As long as it's fun for you, right? Like, not a terrible, strenuous thing.
I don't play video games for fun, Alice.
Yeah, who does?
All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. Keep slacking.
Bye.